What an absolute privilege it is to be here among such mighty men and women of God. World changers, advancing the kingdom of God. And it really is a great joy to be in this part of the country, in this part of the world with another branch of the Southern Cross family. And I just want to reiterate what John has said about us being a family. I think it's wonderful, the couple of men that opened up and asked those questions. We can already see that there is an openness and a transparency among us. And that's really, as John has said, what Southern Cross is all about. We are a family. And I just want to say that this is a safe place here. This is a safe place where we can be real with each other. And I think one of the things that is really important is to know is that relationship is the basis of trust, isn't it? If we're in relationship with each other, we know each other, we learn to trust each other. And that is really our desire among all of us here, in answer to your question, that we might develop such a level of trust with one another that if we're going through tough times, we can share with another, knowing that we can receive encouragement and support and love and help. Amen? It's really, really important. Okay, well, I want to talk today. I want to kind of follow on from what Fiona and Anthony shared about our dreams and our visions. I want to talk today about our assignment, the importance of us knowing our assignment, because we have many, many assignments in different seasons of our lives and in different areas of our lives. For instance, I have an assignment in the church. I have an assignment as a wife. I have an assignment as a mother and as a grandmother. So what I want to talk about, what is our assignment currently and why is it important to know our assignment, and then how do we fulfill our assignment? Sometimes we know what our assignment is and sometimes we don't. Somebody who I think really knew his assignment was John the Baptist. He knew his purpose. His assignment was to announce the coming of the Messiah. Jews at Jerusalem were sent to the priest to ask John the Baptist who he was. And he was very quick to say, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way of the Lord." He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light that was coming to the world. And he knew. He really, really knew, didn't he? So he was very quick to say, "No, I'm not the Messiah. The one who's coming after me is greater than me." He pointed the way to Jesus. He knew what he was called to do. Amen? And then we have somebody like Esther. Did she start out knowing her assignment? I don't think so. She was a girl, I think kind of a peasant girl living in a country, kind of a village, and she was literally plucked from there to the king's palace, wasn't she? To live in the harem. She must have thought, what on earth is this all about? But she yielded, didn't she, to Mordecai's leadings, because Mordecai was someone she trusted. Mordecai was a cousin, but he was like a father to her, and she trusted him. But one thing led to the other, and of course, from being in the harem at the palace, she became the queen. And then we know that, if we know the story of Esther, we know that she was used to save her Jewish people from annihilation. An amazing assignment, amazing series of events in her life. Now, how do we know our assignment? Well, I think that if we look at the example of Jesus and how he called his disciples, that gives us a very good clue. Let's think about Jesus, how he called his disciples. He literally came to them, like Peter, who was a fisherman of many fishermen, and he said, "Come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Now, what was he doing? Jesus was inviting men into, first of all, a relationship with him, and then secondly, into a partnership with him, a responsibility, a job, an assignment. And what was that? To make fishers of men. So we can see that from the example of Jesus and the call on his disciples, that we have a general assignment, that first of all, it comes out of the two commands and the one commission. What are the two commands, the first two commands? to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and secondly, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. So those are the first two commands. Very, very, very important. And then the Great Commission. What did Jesus say? All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, you go and make disciples. How can we go? Because he's given us the authority to continue his work here on earth. So our general assignment is fulfilling those two commands and the one commission. I love in 1 John 2, 3-6, the beloved apostle John, the beloved disciple, he spoke these words. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. I think sometimes as a leader, it's very easy to forget that our call is to walk as Jesus did, as his disciple. Yes, we're leading other people, but we ourselves are disciples. Does that make sense? Yes? Okay. Okay. If we look at Jesus, he announced his assignment, and it's recorded in Luke 4, 18 and 19, when he announced this: the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So for us, this is our call also, in a nutshell, to do those three things: to reach out to all people, both inside and outside of the church, in every sphere of society, as John shared, in the media, in education, in the government, to bring God's values into every area of society. So we have a general assignment. Then we have a specific assignment. This means God has called each one of us to do something unique that only we can do. This is guided by several things: where we live, the period of history that we live in, our education, the family that we grew up in, and our unique skills and abilities that God has given us. You know, I used to think of my assignment as purely what I was doing in the church. But lately, I've come to see that my assignment is walking as Jesus did. I love that Jesus did what he saw the Father doing at any moment, at any time. So for me, it could be when I'm in the grocery store and I hear that little still voice speaking to me saying, help that woman who's struggling to get her, she's got her baby and her toddler and she's struggling with all these packages and groceries. Help her. Or I want you to say this particular thing to her to encourage her. To me, that's also part of living out my assignment, to represent Jesus wherever I am. And in fact, I've found that if I'm obedient to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit in me, that is developing much more of a courage in me and more of an ability to be obedient. Because if we can be obedient in the little things, it helps us to be obedient in the bigger things, right? And in God's scheme of things, even the little things are important, aren't they? Very, very important. You know, about 7 years ago, I was on a plane coming back from Mauritius, and I had a wonderful vision that God gave me on the plane. How many of us know that God can speak in various ways, but he can speak through visions? I'm going to talk in a moment about how God speaks. But anyway, so I had this vision, and I had this vision of, let me just put it this way. God was saying to me, I'm calling women from the four corners of the earth to form an army, united under the banner of Jesus Christ. So I saw all these women coming together, and I saw them under this banner, Jesus Christ. That really got my attention. And then I saw these women walking around the streets with these placards, with signs saying things like righteousness and integrity, submission, honesty. And these women were trying to make a statement. And the Lord said to me, I want you to think about the suffragettes. Do you know who the suffragettes were? They were the women in the early 1900s who they took to the streets with placards. They were wanting to know that they had a voice, because in that period of history, women were seen as purely, you're at home with the children, you're doing physical tasks, that's it, you don't have a voice. Women did not have the right to vote. And so in many cases, these women took to the streets and they were actually quite violent because they wanted to make a statement. They wanted to know, they wanted the men to know that they had a voice. And the Lord said to me, he said, I'm looking for women who will stand with that spirit like the suffragettes, who will feel so passionate about the kingdom of God and about the world around them coming to the kingdom of God, that they will fight for spiritual change in the lives of their loved ones, their family, their city and their nation. And so that vision has really stayed with me. And if we know what God is saying and what he's doing, it makes it a whole lot easier to know what our assignment is. Tomorrow, John is going to be talking about what God is saying to the church today in terms of apostolic reformation, that God is wanting to reform the church in this period of history. And if we know what God is saying to the church today and how he wants to reform the church, it makes it easier for us to know our assignment, because don't we want to partner with God in what he's doing? I'm going to say that again. Don't we want to partner with God in what he's doing? Because if we're partnering with him in what he's doing, isn't it going to make a difference? Just think, if you're doing something that's not really, God's not really in it or over it or with it, is it going to be successful? Is it going to make a difference? No. So we need to know what God is saying and what he's doing so that we can partner with him and make a difference. Amen? I'm just going to give you a moment just to reflect for a minute on what I'm saying. And I want you to think about this and the answer to this question. Do you know at this point in time what your assignment is? Do you know what your assignment is? I'm going to just give you a couple of minutes to think about that. And then I want you to think, okay, my assignment, does it fit in with the two commands and the Great Commission? Just give you a moment to think about that. So how many of us think we know our current assignment? Yeah, some of us. Some of us are not sure. Well, I really hope that by the time that we're finished in these next 2 days, that you're going to leave really knowing what your assignment is, and that you're going to feel so empowered and so encouraged. And that if you've come here carrying a burden, that burden is going to be laid at the foot of the cross, and you're just going to feel like a weight has lifted, and you're going to feel so empowered. That's my desire, and I think it's the desire of all of us who are here to minister with you. Okay, now, your assignment is always going to have elements of mission impossible, right? There's things that we know we can do, but often there's a lot of things we think we couldn't possibly do. And that's often when we know that God's in it. Because if we knew exactly what we were doing and how to do it, we wouldn't need God, would we? We wouldn't need him as much as we need him. You know, there was a time in my life when I had to step up beside my husband. You know, when I married John, I thought that my role was going to remain looking after the children, washing his socks, ironing his shirts, making his food, helping him look good, be the man up front. And I'd just be the little wifey behind him. But God had other plans. And God had to get my attention because I was set in that way of thinking. And you know what God did? He did something amazing. We were in a conference. We were in a big auditorium of about 2,000 people. And an international prophet by the name of Paul Kane, he said, there's a woman down here in the second row and her middle name is Margaret. I'm calling you to be raised up in equality of ministry beside your husband in an ardent way for a last day's ministry. I thought, what? Me? You've got to be kidding. But I knew it was God. You know when you can hear something and you just know that it's God, like it went in here. And there were many years that passed, probably about 10 years before I actually came to really work alongside John in ministry. But whenever I doubted, whenever I thought, oh no, I'm just meant to be the little wife, the Holy Spirit would remind me, no, remember, I've called you to work alongside your husband. And that was a huge encouragement, and it's greatly impacted me, so much to the point that I thought, this is God, and I have to be obedient to this, because it's so important to God. He wanted me to get it right. He had to announce that in an auditorium of 2,000 people so I would get it. And so it's been quite a journey of being a woman in ministry beside my husband. Let me tell you what a specific ministry is not. Okay, I've told you what it is. Now I'm going to tell you what it's not. It's not doing lots of good things. You see, as Christian leaders, we can think that we've got to be all things to all people and do lots and lots and lots of good things because people are expecting that of us or asking that of us, right? So we have to ask ourselves, if we're falling into that trap, do I have a need to be needed? Just a question. Secondly, it's not a task that's driven by a need to perform. You know, I think that if we are a performer, we're trying to earn God's love. You know, we don't have to earn anything. Jesus did it all at the cross. We just need to be that son or daughter who God has called us to be. So if we're not careful, we can keep busy performing. And let's face it, when we see someone we haven't seen in a while, what's usually the first question we ask them? How have you been? Have you been busy? As if being busy is like a status symbol. So be careful you're not busy doing lots of good things instead of lots of God things. I mean, look at Jesus. Did he do everything? No. Sometimes the disciples would say, Jesus, just one more over here. Just come and heal this man. And he would say, no, I'm sorry. I'm going. I'm going to retreat. I'm going to be with my Father. So we need to follow the example of Jesus. He didn't do everything. He only did what he saw the Father doing and what the Father was asking him to do. And that's really, really important for us. Thirdly, it's not doing things driven by a fear of what other people think of us. That's a big one, isn't it? What will somebody think of me if I don't say yes or if I don't perform well? What will they think of me? And I know that as a pastor's wife, I struggled for a lot of years with expectations of other people. Oh, I'm a pastor's wife. Oh, I should act this way, dress this way. I should do this, do that. No, we need to be ourselves and we need to have the strength and the courage to do only what God is telling us to do. Don't worry about people. You're answerable to God, okay? So why is it important to know your assignment? I want to talk about a few things here. Firstly, because God has a purpose for your life and he wants you to fulfill it. Isn't that wonderful? That he's got a purpose for your life and he really wants you to be fulfilled in what he's asking you to do. He wants you to enjoy the journey. Isn't that good news? We don't have to suffer for serving Jesus. We can enjoy the journey and feel really fulfilled as a person. And as Fiona and Anthony were talking, you know, God gives us hopes and dreams. He puts those in us. And he wants us to be fulfilled. Let's think about Mary. Mary was given an assignment as the mother of Jesus. What an awesome assignment that was. And he wanted her to get that right. So he sent an angel to her to proclaim that ministry to her. He also chose Mary Magdalene to be the first person to see Jesus and to be a support to him in his ministry. So he doesn't want us to lack purpose. That's the first thing. Secondly, why is it important for us to know our assignment? So we don't end up frustrated because we begin comparing ourselves to other people and to their assignments. I think there's a brilliant example in Scripture of this. It's when Jesus was talking to Peter about his assignment. Do you remember? He said, Peter, he asked him a question. He said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yes. And what did he say? He said, then feed my sheep. And Peter then said to Jesus, okay, but what about him? What about John? What have you asked him to do? And he was quick to say, don't you worry about him. I'll take care of him. You do what I've asked you to do. You see, because it was a specific thing that he'd asked Peter to do that was different to John. So if we're not careful, we can get into comparisons. And we can even evaluate what we're doing by looking at what other people are doing and thinking, oh, look at the size of their church. Or, oh, look at what, oh my goodness, they're an amazing preacher. I can't preach like that. You know, I used to compare myself to my husband. I think I don't have the education that he has. I don't have a doctorate degree like he has. I don't have the theological background he has. And for many years, that stood in the way of me being able to speak because I didn't think I was qualified. You see, so we don't get into comparing. Again, if we keep focused on our relationship with God and what he's called us to do, then we won't get into that trap of comparisons. Okay, thirdly, why is it important to know our assignment? Because God wants us to be fruitful and effective. In Ephesians 5, 15 to 17, it says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. We live in evil times, don't we? Don't you sometimes think that evil's getting worse? But you know what? Evil is, we see the world around us seems to be growing darker, but at the same time, many, many, many people are coming to Christ and the light is able to shine brighter and we are on the winning side, right? So we need to be wise, though, in how we spend our time, making the most of every opportunity, making our lives count. We've got to understand what the Lord's will is. God is looking for men and women who are obedient to the call no matter what the cost, no matter what the opposition, no matter whether we are misunderstood, we are talked about, we are dishonored, we are not quitters. Amen? And I love this verse in Hebrews 11:1. It says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Isn't that a great word? Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. I love that. Okay, why else is it important to know our assignment? So we can see God's kingdom come on earth. And John already talked about how we need to redeem every area of society for the kingdom of God so that kingdom values can come into every arena of society. Because you know what? The blueprint for every person's life in the whole earth, the blueprint is the Word of God, right? If we follow the Word of God, that blueprint, we will be blessed, we will be fruitful, we will be successful. And the world needs to know that because many times we can see they have a different blueprint, don't they? We need to introduce them to God's blueprint. You know, Jesus said that we would do even greater things than him. And he sent the Holy Spirit, didn't he? He left the Holy Spirit with us so that we could do even greater things. You know, I never ever saw myself as an evangelist. I thought, no, that's for the person who can stand on the street corners or knock on doors and preach the gospel. But, you know, lately I've found that, you know what, I can be an evangelist. In fact, as I said, we're all called to fulfill the Great Commission, aren't we? And even as a leader, I need to be bringing people to Christ because I want to be an example to the people in my church and ministry, that they see that I'm doing it. If I'm not doing it, how can I expect them to be doing it? And, you know, God has shown me lately how easy it is to partner with him, but it's partnering with him. I just want to tell you a little story. There's a little shop near where I live, and there's a lady who works there as a seamstress. You know what a seamstress is? She sews, she repairs clothing. Anyway, I've probably been going to her for about 2 years. She does things like If my jeans are too long, she takes them up, or she repairs a hem if it's fallen down, something like that. Anyway, I've been getting to know this lady called Marie. I was just being friendly to her, talking to her every time I'd come into the shop. I never told her that I was a Christian or that I was a pastor and I worked in a church. Anyway, a couple of months ago when I went into the shop, I could see she was struggling. She couldn't work at her sewing machine. I said, Marie, what's wrong? She said, oh, my arm, it's so painful. I can barely move it. Do you think I should go and have x-rays? I said, well, what happened? She said, well, I had this accident and I fell and my arm is so painful. I can hardly move it. But I had to come to work because, you know, I've got all this work to do. Immediately, the little small voice said, pray for her. I went, okay. I said, Marie, I'm a Christian. I believe in healing. I've seen people healed. Can I pray for you? She said, absolutely. I went behind the counter. I said, can I put my hand on your shoulder? She said, yes. I put my hand on her shoulder. I started to pray for her. What happened? People started coming into the shop. I thought, oh my goodness, I better make this really quick. So just a quick prayer. I left. I came back 3 days later to pick up my jeans. She said, Elaine, guess what? I said, what? She said, after you prayed for me, I went home. I was totally, totally healed. She said, not only that, she said, you won't believe it. Since you prayed for me 3 days ago, I haven't touched a cigarette. I said, Marie, I didn't know you were a smoker. She said, I've smoked for 28 years. She said, I've always wanted to be free of that addiction, but she said, I couldn't even take a walk down the street. I've had this problem. And she said, but since you prayed for me, the desire to smoke has gone away. How awesome is that? I didn't know she was a smoker. All I did was say a simple prayer. And, you know, sometimes we think we've got to pray for the bones, the tendons, God knows it all. And I tell you what, all you need is to have a few experiences like that. And you just want to go out and pray for the world, you know? Because you realize it's not about you. It's about him in you. It's about what you carry. It's not about you. So don't ever be intimidated if that little small voice says, pray. You do it. You be obedient because it is such a privilege to be a power source through which, or to be a vessel through which he can move. There's nothing more wonderful than that. Okay, the last reason why it's important to know our assignment is so that when we stand before the Lord one day, we will hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Do you want to hear those words one day? I certainly do. So if you know you're fulfilling your specific assignment from the Lord, then it's less easy to be tempted to give up when you face obstacles, right? If you really know your call to do what you're doing, then when the hard times come, it's less easy to give up. Okay, I need to move on here because time's moving along. How do we fulfill our assignment? Okay, well, first of all, we learn our assignment by learning to abide in Christ. Now, to abide means to remain in him or to rest in him long enough so that we can actually hear what he's telling us to do. In John 15, verse 5, it says, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me or cut off from me, you can do nothing. Now, you might think, oh, but you know, if I haven't spoken to God for a few days or even weeks, I'm still doing good things. Yeah, but they may be good things, but not necessarily God things. So we need to hear what he's saying. Spending time with the Father in an intimate relationship. You know, if we think again of the example of Jesus, and John actually alluded to this morning, Jesus, first of all, he had this intimate relationship with the Father. That was the most important thing. And then out of that intimate relationship with the Father, he had a relationship with his disciples. And then with his disciples, then they were able to go out into all the world. But everything came, first of all, from that intimacy with the Father. And we need to have that same intimacy like Jesus did. And when we draw aside to spend time with the Father, it's where we are affirmed in the very core of our being. We're affirmed in who we are. You see, we can look for affirmation in other places, through other people. Even in ministry, we can look to other people to affirm us. But we need to go to that intimate place with the Father where He affirms us, where He loves on us, and just where we can draw aside from the storms of life and just allow Him just to touch us and minister to us and build us up in that wonderful secret place. You know, God showed me something the other day that I thought was quite awesome. If we look at the first of all with the scripture in Matthew 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? I think those who recognize that they have nothing of their own to give, who realize they must receive before they can give. And as I said, because Jesus was so dependent on the Father, that is true humility. And what God was showing me was if we don't spend time in intimacy in His presence, it's pride. I thought, woo, I'm never going to forget that. If I don't spend time in His presence, humbling myself, I have pride. Because I'm thinking I can do anything at all without Him. That's not the way Jesus did things. Okay, I'm going to move on. Secondly, how do we fulfill our assignment? We take note of God's revelation to us. And I shared with you how I received that wonderful prophetic word in that conference and how I had that vision on the plane. God speaks in a number of ways. It can be a desire for something that He puts in our hearts. It can be through a scripture that He speaks to us, or visions, dreams. And you can have more than one of these, and the more the better. You know, with revelation, and I think John really has already mentioned this, but I just want to say it again, it's really important to seek the counsel of other people. This is why we need each other. We need the counsel of other people. Sometimes we can go gung-ho thinking, God's told me to do that. Okay, I'm going to go and do that. It's really wise to seek counsel of other people to get confirmation. You know, I love the story of Esther, of how, you know the story, I'm sure, of how she had all those beauty treatments in the harem. She was being prepared for one night with the king. And, you know, most of the women in the harem probably were focused on what they were going to wear, how their hair looked, what kind of jewelry they were going to wear to please the king. But Esther did something very wise. She sought the counsel of the king's eunuch. You see, the king's eunuch knew the king intimately. He knew exactly what the king liked and wanted. So she thought, okay, if I go and ask the king's eunuch, what's the king like? What pleases him? That will be the key. And, of course, she was successful. We know the rest is history, don't we? It wasn't just that she was a beautiful woman, but she sought the wise counsel of the eunuch and she sought the favor of the king. And the rest is history. Okay, thirdly, how do we fulfill our assignment? We listen to feedback regarding things that we do well and things we do poorly. A good disciple is eager to learn and teachable. This is an important thing for us who've been in church ministry for a while. How open and teachable are we? Or do we think that we've been in ministry this long so we don't need to listen to the counsel or the advice of other people? You know, when people around you see good fruit in you, they'll often tell you about it, won't they? And this is a confirmation of your God-given assignment, when people see the fruit and they tell you and they encourage you. So let's cultivate that among each other and listen to the feedback that we give one another about what we do well and what we do poorly. Another reason about how we fulfill our assignment, how do we fulfill our assignment? It's important to know how the enemy works. We need to know how the enemy works so that we can dispel with lies. I really love the example of Jesus. You remember how he was led out into the desert and how the enemy tempted him? He was really challenging his identity and his authority. But what happened when he came out of the desert? He really began his power-filled ministry. He was full of the Holy Spirit and he was able to begin his ministry. So I think sometimes when we've come through the, sometimes when we're going through the attack of the enemy or the enemy's just putting lies into our head, we can feel so discouraged and so defeated. But remember how Jesus was able to, he was able to deal with the enemy's lies so that he could come out a different person, ready to carry out the will of the Father. So we've got to be able to recognize when lies come. Now, a thought comes to our head, we've got to be able to recognize if that's a thought from God or a thought from the enemy. And if it's a thought from the enemy, we've got to be very careful that we then deal with that straight away. I know this from experience, because if we let the lie stay there, we can begin to own it, think it, walk like it, live it out, and then we can be so defeated. So we've got to be able to deal with lies. Okay, the last reason why, how we can fulfill our assignment is to remember that it's not about us, but about him. And I guess I've already shared this before, but remember, it's not what we say or do, but it's what we carry. We carry the presence. And don't ever think, oh, I'm too tired to do that today, or I'm not this enough, or I'm not that enough. Don't make excuses. Remember, it's about him in you, and he can do it through you. And I love this scripture in 2 Corinthians 4:7. It says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." You see, it was customary to conceal treasure and things of value in clay pots that were very unattractive, so they could be hidden and concealed, so that they wouldn't draw attention to themselves. So that's how I see us, you know. If we humble ourselves, we can realize we're just like that clay pot, but what we carry inside of us is something incredibly valuable. You know, I'm going to leave it there. I've talked about what our assignment is, why it's important to know our assignment, and how we can fulfill our assignment. And I guess just following on from that scripture about the jars of clay and what we carry inside of us. When we were flying into Nairobi, the Lord just drew my attention to my handbag. And he said, you know, your handbag looks pretty good on the outside. It almost looks brand new. But, you know, when you open it up on the inside, there's something about this bag that really frustrates me. It's the pockets on the side here because they're ripped. And every time I put my mobile phone in and want to pull it out, it gets stuck on all the frayed cotton, and it's really, really annoying. So you wouldn't know that, would you? You wouldn't know that from the outside. It looks like it's functioning well, but inside there's a bit of a problem. And we can laugh at this, but I just want to be serious for a moment, because I felt that what the Lord said to me was, we can look really good to each other on the outside, but there can be something about us on the inside that's hurting or that isn't working well. And I want to say that there is freedom in this place for us to be able to be real and to say, God, that's me. There's something on the inside that isn't functioning terribly well, and I need some help. And I need to just stop what I'm doing, get off the merry-go-round. You know what I mean by that? Get off the merry-go-round. Stop the busyness. Just stop for a moment and take a good hard look at what's going on inside and actually do some business with God. Because if we don't do business with God, we're not going to function at our full capacity. So I just want to give you a moment just to do some business with God. If you relate to what I've just said about my handbag, and there's something on the inside of you that just you need to give to God right now, or something that's hurting, I'm going to give you time right now just to spend a few moments with God. Would anyone here be brave enough to put their hand up and say, that's me? That's me here in this place today. Who'd have the courage and the honesty? Thank you. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? You know, there was a time in our lives when things got so hard in our church, we thought we were finished. Things weren't going so well. We didn't think things were going so well. And we had to take it to God and say, God, are we finished? And God said, no, you're not finished with your assignment yet. Come to me. I'll minister to you. I'll give you what you need to last the distance. And sometimes we get like that, don't we? It gets tough. And there's nothing wrong in admitting that, because we're all human beings. So I just want to give you a couple of moments just to just bow your head, if that's you, just to do some business with God right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit's presence in this place. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you speak to us. We thank you that your heart is for us. We thank you for the incredible power of your love in this place. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Now you just do business with God. Thank you, Lord.